flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yuengling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Live here, Sports Radio 610 on the road. The Drive is on the road. The Drive is live here, Radio Row, here in New Orleans. And it's been a good time, but it's some serious business today, Clint, as Nick Caley. Nick Caley he's the guy. He is the guy that the Houston Texans have decided to go to as the new OC, as the new offensive coordinator. And if you're looking for the history of him currently, he has been the Rams tight end coach, passing game coordinator for the last couple of years. But he also has major ties with the New England Patriots, as he was there for multiple years and actually there crossing over with Nick Caserio. So Caserio's very familiar with Nick Caley and has had multiple opportunities to become an OC, or at least interest in becoming an OC. I know this year there was heavy interest in him by the Jets, and he turned down the gig. I know he was up for it multiple years ago when Belichick was still in New England, but he decided to go with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. So he was kind of up with there, remained there, and then he moved out to the Rams under Sean McVay. How much of that is to you like a positive thing? As we've talked about it, I think he can potentially work. What do you think are the best assets that Nick Caley can bring as he has been – to multiple places? Yeah. What are the best things? What's the positive thing that you look at and you're like, all right, this is why I think this could work?
Look, I think one thing that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans do most of the time and have done a really good job for, I think, in Houston is they hire great coaches. Right, let's get beyond the can he call a play, can he manage a game, can he manage the personality, the million-dollar personalities in the building, yada, yada, yada. He can coach football. They hire really good coaches of the game on the grass. Put your cleats in the turf and let's work on a daily basis. I think he'll be really, really good there. Sean McVay wouldn't have him in his system if he weren't really good there. Bill Belichick in up in New England would not have had him in the building up there in New England had he not been a tremendous coach. So I don't doubt one bit that he is a tremendous football coach, and on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute basis brings the energy and the know-how and the want to help players get better day in, day out. Don't doubt that one bit. The huge plus of bringing in an offensive coordinator that has similar terminology and the offense not having to start over at ground zero and build up with C.J. Stroud and this offense. C.J. Stroud, knowing the terminology, should be a big-time plus for this football team. And look, other than that, I don't know. The jury's still out for me. I'm imagining that there is an understanding, an agreement, that he's going to have to work with some people that are already in the building. He's going to have to. He's probably going to have to work with whatever staff D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio hire. There's probably an understanding of that. So you can say, you know, hey, look, that's going to create. He's obviously on the front end accepted this. Hey, it's a collaborative effort to play offensive football in Houston. So I'd imagine that's a plus. It's a fit. I don't like it, but it's a fit for what they seem to want their offensive staff to look like and how they want their offensive staff to operate. So. You know, there are some pluses, and you're right. Everybody on the text line that's saying, "Oh, well, trust the process; it could work." You're right; it can work. You're right. This guy has been a hot candidate for the OC job in a few places. I would just like for him to maybe be an OC at the place he's at instead of us talk about how great of an OC he is coming up in that system, and maybe have at least had the title in that system before. You know, we as the Texans make him our play caller. But there are some positives, and it's a wait and see for who Nick Caley is and what his strong suit is.
Yeah, I think the big thing is he's been through multiple systems, right? He's been in New England's system there under Josh McDaniels with Tom, where they had some success there.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Rams, and who knows? I wonder what offense he feels tied to. I wonder, like, I do that, and I'm guessing it will be what Sean and this offense has been, because it's clearly what the Texans have been running. I don't think that would be a surprise if it moved towards more what the Patriots were doing when he was there for multiple years. I would assume it would stay here, but I do think that he's been to multiple places is a help. There, you keep mentioning this. And this is a guy, we've talked about it, that has turned down interviews, at least one, we know, turned down the Jets interview for sure. You really think that the decision on the staff is coming elsewhere? You think that most of the staff is coming from not his call, not his decision. This is coming from above him, that one of the big reasons that he was selected was
absolutely
that he would be worth. You don't really, you don't
absolutely.
Think?
I think you look at that list of guys that were interviewed.
I hate that.
There's not one guy on that list that was going to bring a staff with him. Absolutely.
Really? You hope to have someone speak with the experience. But I was also hoping that since this guy is going to be the offensive coordinator, this guy is going to be calling plays, the stuff's going to fall on his head like it did Bobby, that he would have some input on this thing. Like, and I know Lopez said that is going to be a strange thing of, yo, Gerard Johnson's going to remain the quarterback coach. Like, that's a strange thing, a guy that went for the job, who wanted the job, who has been interviewing for coordinator jobs, and we know has a great relationship with the quarterback and C.J. Stroud, that he would remain there. Like, that is an interesting part of it, if it is the case. I'm going to be watching that big time to see how many coaches remain here. Like, obviously, we know there's going to be a change at the offensive line coach. We clearly understand that. But that is my thing, is how many guys are going to change from that? Because that's my deal, is you're going with them. Nick Caley, as we said, could work. I just, like, hey, give him the reins.
Yeah.
And you don't think that at all is occurring.
Well, look, I think it's a risk hiring somebody that's never called plays, never built a plan, never managed these people, a team, an offensive unit. I think that in itself is a risk. And just, can he do that or can he not? I mean, that is an unbelievably difficult job, right? And this is an unbelievably critical time for the Houston Texans to make that jump. To then, on top of that, task this guy or allow this guy to come in here and hire the whole offensive staff? Yeah, no, I can't see that being the plan.
No, I mean, I understand where you come from, but I'm just like, damn, like he ain't gonna get any.
I would be willing to bet you that the next time we hear from probably Nick, it will just be. It'll just flow out, man. We put this offensive staff together with intent, with a plan.
Yeah.
What are you gonna bet?
You think that it's some sort of verbiage of that we put
you,
this.
You got two choices. Hey, man, we hired Nick and we let Nick bring his offensive staff in, and he's really. Or, hey, man, we put this thing together strategically for a reason.
I mean, I'd probably lean towards the latter. I'll probably lean towards it. All right. Within this, and you can jump in here, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what are the biggest things that are on the task list for Nick Caley? What are the biggest things? Obviously, there's a change that was made. Bobby Slowick was relieved of his duties after 2 years, one really good year, and then I think a very up-and-down year for Bobby Slowick with injuries and poor play up front. What are the things that Nick Caley has to come in and the expectation is this is what you fix? Because I still think the Texans are in a, we got to win right now and try to get past the divisional round and get to the AFC championship game. And they clearly believe the coordinator held them back for that. So what are the things, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you could jump in on this. What are the things that Nick Caley has to improve?
Well, I mean, I think the one vacancy or opening on the staff after he's hired is the answer to that. The offensive line coach. I mean, that piece has to get right. I mean, that piece has to, whether we're talking about, you know, the day-to-day technique, mechanic type stuff, or we're talking about overall the five guys working together and figuring out how to communicate who's in charge. Is the center in charge? Does the quarterback have some leeway in what he's calling? That's got to get – to me, that is absolutely – when we're talking football things, X's and O's, that part of it has to get corrected ASAP. You know, is Nick Caley a guy – I'll go back to what I heard D'Amico Ryan say shortly after the season. I don't remember which one of the pressers it was, but one of his pressers, he was asked about guys wanting guys to take time off and when are they coming back, and he said, look, man, after the Super Bowl, we got to get back and we got to get ready to work, right? That's got to include everybody. And I'll be honest with you, the first one in the building should be the offensive line. Shaq Mason, Laramie Tunsil, Titus Howard, Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson, they should be the first ones in the building. They should be knocking on the door every morning to get in the building. Those guys have to get right. Plain and simple.
That's been the biggest issue the last 2 years.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know whose fault it is, right? I'm not a big blame guy here, but I don't know whose fault it is that C.J. Stroud was the most pressured quarterback in the NFL, one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL. But if you're an offensive lineman, particularly one with a C on your chest and you got big money, or you're in here, you're making $10+ million a year and you've won a Super Bowl and you were brought in here to tighten things up and chore up the middle of the offensive line, or you were drafted in the second round and expected to come in here and play, you should lose sleep at night. You should be embarrassed that your quarterback was the most pressured and most hit quarterback in the NFL. That shouldn't sit well. Now they ended on a better note in terms of running the football, so they're I could see where you may sleep a little better at night. But when it's all said and done, that group should lose sleep about the performance and the fact that their quarterback got the hell beat out of them this year.
And maybe was one of the big things that led to the firing of the OC.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, and there is some truth to, hey, you get another voice out there and you're willing to adjust and do some things differently, then that offensive line executes differently. There are so many pieces that go into how poorly they protected the quarterback overall this year that it's bound to get better with change, right? I mean, if you just change the O-line coach and it's a technique and mechanic thing, it gets better, assuming he's better, right? If you change the play designer and the play caller and they're protecting differently, you would assume it gets better. If you allow your quarterback the ability to redirect the pass protection, then it gets better, right? If your center is a better communicator, which I would expect Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson to be, the O-line of protection gets better. So I don't know how the protection doesn't get better and more consistent with this change. But that's the number one priority, no doubt about it.
Yeah, as people are coming in, that's what people are saying. Number one thing he needs to to fix, thing that's going to be on his plate, right? Whether you like the hire or not, what are the things he has to improve? A lot of people went there with the offensive line. Someone said they're happy that his background's at tight ends because that position needs to improve. And then somebody said, we need to see the old CJ. That's what someone texted in. And to me, like, I hear you say the offensive line and maybe those things go hand in hand. I think that is his number one thing. I think it's ultimately what happened with Bobby Slowik, right? Everyone knows how, to me, god-awful at times the offensive line was. But I think the biggest thing that got Bobby Slowik in trouble was sophomore slump. C.J. Stroud ain't working. C.J. Stroud don't look the same. To me, it's about quarterbacks. Like, we've seen it. Like, you know, there are other teams. Like, Zach Taylor, whatever his name is in Cincinnati.
Taylor.
Yeah, he has not had great offensive lines. Hell, it maybe cost him to get to a Super Bowl before. But damn it.
Yeah.
His quarterback, he'll be in trouble when Joe Burrow falls apart. That's when he'll be in trouble. So honestly, I do think the biggest thing was CJ Stroud looked like he was on a rocket ship. To be, like, literally, we heard people saying, he may be better than Josh Allen. I'd take him over Lamar right now. I thought he would be in that conversation. And now, it may be a hard thing to say, but Sam Darnold looked better than he did throughout the season. Like, there are players that you wouldn't think. And hate to say it, you come to a space where you talk yourself into say, hey, Bryce Young closed the gap in between those guys from last year to year one. And that kind of stuff to me is what crushed and hurt Bobby Slowik, and that is what Kaylee has to fix. Whether that's the offensive line or whatever, he has got to fix C.J. Stroud. I think that's his biggest thing to me is C.J. Stroud has to look like the guy, which was the reason they went out and got Diggs, got Hunter, got all those players to bring him in. That to me is the big one.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. I mean, fixing C.J. Stroud is a two or three or four pronged approach. I mean, like, you ain't fixing C.J. Stroud if you don't fix the protection.
Yes.
I mean, that's where it all starts. And so, I think big picture, if you fix C.J. Stroud, whatever all that entails, and he's playing better and he's playing like he did his rookie year, then you've obviously done some great work.
Yep.
I mean, it's not just, you know, him. It's there's a lot of work across the board at damn near every position on the offense that has to be better.
Yep. No, I agree a lot too. But as we've said, like, to me, the quarterback will fix a lot.
Yep.
And if C.J. Stroud starts to look like C.J. Stroud, it will fix a lot. And I think a lot of people will look a lot different. But I agree with you. It starts with him. He's got to stop getting hit. And I wonder if they will give him better pieces up front that will help him be able to do that. So Nick Kaylee's got a lot in front of him again. Hopefully this is something that works for the Texans. But those are the big things. Got protection, C.J. Stroud. Those are the things that have to improve. All right. There was a move that was connected with the Rockets for a couple of weeks. A move connected with the Rockets. That move is dead. Get our thoughts on that. And do you think there is a move left that the Rockets need to make? That's coming up next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yingling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on Radio Row, doing our thing. Every time we mention Radio Row, we need to thank our great friends and partners at Flight by Yingling as they are supporting us to get here as well. And our good friends at Low T Center, we don't need to mention. We make sure we need to mention them and let them also understand how much we appreciate them also. Okay, wait till we get here, man. We got a long week, people, sliding that hot seat, courtesy of exclusive furnitures. It'll be a good time. And also, man, our good friends at Mokarem Injury Lawyers, as you can watch us live at Radio Row on the Mokarem Injury Lawyers video stream. You can do that, as many of you are, on YouTube and Twitch with us right now, as we've been talking a lot about the news of Nick Caley. He is no longer or they are no longer looking for an OC. He is the guy. But also, Clint, and I know if you're listening to the H-Town Hoops podcast with B. Scott and Adam Spolane, you've heard them kind of talk about things as a trade deadline is coming up on Thursday. A name that had been tied with them, I'd say the most, was Sacramento Kings, excuse me, Sacramento Kings point guard De'Aaron Fox. That move has now been made, and that will not include the Rockets. Not a big surprise. If you heard Rockets report last Wednesday, B. Scott said, not really sure that's where they're going after, but their name will be connected to them because everything they have that any team would like with the picks and the young players. But De'Aaron Fox goes to another, you know, I don't know, contender, but another team that you may have to deal with, and that is the San Antonio Spurs. So they have made their move to get Wimby some help with De'Aaron Fox. It took a three-team deal. The Spurs gave up several picks as well. The Kings got Zach LaVine in it. The Bulls were involved in this thing. But the big move is for De'Aaron Fox, and it came with at least three first-round picks. It came with other players around it. They didn't go that direction, but it looks like teams and contenders in the West are trying to make moves, right? We talked about the big one between the Lakers and the Mavs. We've also talked about this one with the Spurs trying to jump up. They didn't get him, and it doesn't seem like they're that, you know, hurt about that. But from what we're seeing with the Rockets, two seed, do they need to make a move? Do they make and what kind of move, right? There's multiple moves. Do they need to make a bigger move, or do they need to make just, you know, small bench help, small moves that isn't going to kind of move the needle? That is the question here in the next couple of days. I know many people want them to stand pat with their big names, but it does feel like they need to add to this roster as all these other teams around them are doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my answer to that question is always going to be yes, just generally speaking. Like, I mean, the team, I think, is lacking that one superstar that can go get buckets at any point in time. That like we mentioned the other night, the last Rockets game we saw, or maybe it was two games ago, where Van Vliet, three straight possessions late in the game with the game on the line, he's turning it over or taking step-back threes. I mean, that can't be the answer, and it's less about Van Vliet and more about, in that moment, clearly they don't have the guy that they want to get the ball in his hands and get the hell out of his way and let him go get a bucket. It's got to be it's going to require the perfect play dialed up and Van Vliet staying on his feet or him being able to facilitate at that point in time, which is fine, but it's just, the point there is that you still don't have that surefire buckets when you need it the most. And if that guy came available, whoever it may be, which, hell, if Luka's available, I'd imagine anybody in the damn league damn near is available potentially. So it could be somebody that we're not even talking about. Guy came available.
Anything's a surprise now. Hell, right. Anything can happen.
Right. Well, and if the right guy was available and we didn't know about it, I sure hope they're having those conversations. But I don't – your question being posed of do they have to? No, I don't think they have to. I'm good and excited either way at this point in time. I could get good and excited to watch this team, which I not could get. I am good and excited to watch this team as they're built right now, make whatever run it is they're capable of making and playing a little bit uphill as it relates to the biggest names in the game.
Yeah, I listen, if you've followed this show on many different things, I am a go for it dude. And I know sometimes that isn't the right move, but I am a go for it guy. And, you know, you just don't – hopefully the Rockets for years to come will be at the upper part of the West, and they will be years to come. They'll be a two, and they'll be this.
Yep.
But they sitting up here, this is a really good basketball team that, to me, you know if there is one move that's made that you will look at them differently. I get where you're coming from, and I know, like, it is hard for you, to me, sometimes in my brain to say, seven-game series, all right, they're going to beat Denver. Seven-game series, they're going to beat OKC. Seven-game series, like, what's that going to look like, you know, with the Lakers now? Or what that's going to look like with some of these other teams that have experience and have guys that they know what they're going to do? Like, with Ja Morant comes back, what's that going to look, even though they've had great success against Memphis? Like, it does feel like, God, come in, someone just texting, KD would make it happen. Sure, something like that. It does feel like they're missing something. And I get it. If you just said, hey, man, to compete to where they're just going to get to. Like, hey, man, whatever, if they get to the second round, that's a fun thing, that's a good thing, that's a good building block. I'm just honest, like, my thinking is, go for it. Go for it. And I ain't going to lie to you. Many of you may be right. Sometimes people text again and say, Ron, thank God Ron's not the GM. Yeah, you're probably right. Because I'm going for it, damn it. I am like, you just, hey, you don't know. Hopefully you're building something. You don't know, but damn it, you drop the right player in this thing. I got to look at the shot of you really making it this year with this team. Obviously, that didn't, to me, giving up anybody crazy like Amen Thompson. By the way, if Dallas wasn't just jackasses and they opened it up to everybody, would you have said yes to Amen Thompson?
For Luke? Yeah, absolutely.
Remember, we've been talking that Amen Thompson is my man. Aaron is there. He's not convinced yet. My man Aaron, like I just wonder, because he's been the, and I know I've said it, he's been the untouchable piece. Somebody just texted, he's been the untouchable piece. Like, and Brandon Scott just went the thumbs up. He would be a Dallas Maverick today if it was up to him for out of shape Luka. But no, you just don't get a lot of chances like this if you were a team like the Rockets. So I at least hope they make a move to get a shooter in here. That at the very least, to me, you got to at least make a move. I'm not, you know, the KD and the Booker. Okay, I can understand if they don't want to do that. But to me, just adding another shooter in the mix, because you'd hope it was Reed Shepard, but I don't, as a young guy, I don't know that's going to happen. They could get somebody who can spot up and shoot. I think that's at least a big thing. They're in a great spot right now. As someone said, overall, our process is great right now. You're absolutely right. I just tell you where I am. Some people are different, and you're not wrong. I'm like, go for that thing. You the 2 seed in the West right now? Go for that thing. That's me. I'm trying to make some moves. Get up in here.
I mean, like I said, if it's there, I would like them to make a move too.
Yeah. Someone text in, have we talked Kaylee yet?
Slightly, just a little bit. We'll get back to Kaylee.
I think so. I think we talked about Nick Kaylee.
We'll get back to Nick.
We just talked about Nick Kaylee. No, you can stay tuned. Go ahead and use that Odyssey app as you want to, and you can rewind and check and see how much Nick Kaylee we've talked to. You probably hear it at 2, probably hear it at 2:20, probably hear it at 3, probably hear it here throughout the show. So, yes, we have had conversations. Speaking of Nick Kaylee, this is not really going towards Nick Kaylee, but now that he is in and it's solidified and a lot of, at least coaching-wise, the big pieces are there, what's now the expectation for this team? This upcoming year, you got your OC in, you know where they're – what's the expectation? Has it changed? Are you looking for more? What's the expectation? We'll discuss that next.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yingling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on Radio Row here in New Orleans, having a good time. And listen, I know the Nick Kaylee news has been out. We've talked about Nick Kaylee, and we will some more here throughout the show. It's the top story right now. Nick Kaylee is the new OC here for the Houston Texans, dropping right at the end of In the Loop as we were coming on. But before that, fellas, Chris, you weren't here. I don't know if you've seen the video of it, but we did a team throwing contest a little bit ago, and. Listen, I'll say I was not happy with my performance.
Was it a football?
I'll be honest. Yeah, it was football. So basically, the old bounty, they've got a little section over there, and they've got, you know, a thing where you could throw it into, you know, into a hole for 100. You could throw it into a hole for 250. You could throw it in another hole for 500. And the record was, I think, for a team was 3,800. I don't know. What was it, 30 seconds? I think it was 30 seconds.
40.
40 seconds. Yeah, 40 seconds. And look, we didn't come close as a team. I wasn't happy about my performance. I think I could have done a lot better. I think Figgy videoed the whole thing and put it up. Now, I will say I don't think that I was as upset about my performance as maybe my partner should be. But, I mean, it was really pushed.
You're pissy po.
Figgy walked up and said, "This guy's a former NFL quarterback here."
He set me up.
Former NFL quarterback. Oh, they was like, "Oh, okay, all right." It was, and it wasn't. They had our nickname up there, Dirty and Joe. What it said. All right. I felt like to me, I was like, you know, when I play spades, any of y'all play spades, I was a weaker one. I'm like, hey, I got three. That's really never me in spades. But generally, I felt like I was, you know, I was the one that the guy, the partner asked, how many books you got? Because, you know, they're going to tell you that the stronger partner keeps it in. I'm like, hey, man, I got you three. I got you. I got you three shots, baby. Just carry us home. Right? I got the two-time SEC. All-SEC second-team quarterback on my team who could throw it in. This guy, the self-proclaimed top five quarterback coach in all of the country with me. And I'm thinking, all right, man, we about to dominate this thing. All right. That second round we went, he got a little warmed up too. First round, we didn't talk about it.
First round wasn't as bad, though. It was a good start.
It wasn't too bad. I think I got two or three in. And then we in the second one said, let's go for the 500s. Let's do it. All right. I'm like, hey, I got you three. I roll in there. Boom, I come right off the bat. I get one in the 500.
First
I said, baby, let's go, baby. Let's go. And I'm looking, and I'm throwing, and I'm close. I keep looking up that score. Just say 500. Come up. Come up. About 10 seconds later, I look up at that score. Just say 500 again. Damn. Then I think I got another one in there. Boom. Look up. Say 1,000. Damn, still got it. We got about 5 seconds left. I think you snuck one in.
Snuck one in last second. Wasn't enough, though, boys. Wasn't enough.
I threw more in, and I'm not happy with my two, but I threw one. I feel like to you, man, that's tough, and I feel like we're going to play that probably multiple more times this week.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Not leaving today till I break 3,800.
Y'all got to get a win, man, before y'all leave.
Oh, did they leave?
It'll go, man. We can't do it until tomorrow, man.
That's all right. Tomorrow, come back.
What happened, Clint? I got my two.
just a rough day at the office, man. I mean, I pelted that damn thing, man. I just couldn't get it to go through, man. I was, and then I got throwing it harder. I'm trying to figure out how to control the Nerf ball, and it just wasn't working.
No, it was about Nerf ball. Yeah,
it just wasn't working, man. Wasn't my day, man. I told you, I'm either four touchdowns or four picks. There's nothing. There was no in between.
Could get it out, man. I just, damn, boy. I thought
I didn't pull my weight. You did plenty to get us to the record on day one.
I didn't do plenty. I mean
you
I got did, two.
You throw two through there in 40 seconds, and I think you the first round you hit a couple in the one. That's I wasted half the first round throwing at the one, thinking let me just start here and just kind of nickel and dime. And I was like, well, that's stupid. Let me go up to 500. Neither plan of attack worked.
That's all right though. We'll get there tomorrow. I get that. I think we got 1,000 or 1,500 on the last one. Just ain't good enough. All right, as we continue here live, I said this kind of in a way has the Nick Caley thought because he is here now, Clint. But what's now the expectations as we start seeing this team? Is the expectation – obviously they took a step back. Is the expectation still, all right, hey, we're trying to get to realistically – we're trying to get to Super Bowl. We're trying to get to AFC Championship game. What's the expectation with this team right now? Understanding where they were last year and the growth in 2 years, and I would say some would argue maybe a bit of a step back. You got another first place schedule again. What's the expectation for this Texans team? Are you as high? Is this Super Bowl? Is this AFC Championship game? What's the expectation?
Well, look, you make the move to get better. And you get better by advancing further than the division round. I mean, I think that's the easy answer. To me, it's more of a product, right? It's more of a what does the Texans' product look like? And if you want to get real specific with it, it's I've said this multiple times throughout this offensive coordinator saga, if you will, between firing Bobby Slowick and the search, right? Like you can't look up 9 weeks into year two and your offensive coordinator is still talking about it. It takes time to find your identity. Everything's different year to year, and it takes time to find your identity. At the end of the day, I think the big story here is can the Texans adjust and improve better, both talking about it halftime of every game and being better in the second half, as well as, hey, man, we had some protection issues against pressure. Let's shore that up and make sure our quarterback's not the most pressured quarterback in the league. Like I've said it multiple times, whatever week three or week four, whatever it was, we played Minnesota, you know, you got your tight ends trying to block true edge rushers, and it was an absolute nightmare, terrible game plan. And I know it wasn't necessarily the plan. It was more of a reaction in the Kansas City game when you couldn't protect the quarterback. But the next thing you know, you've got your tight end lined up again trying to block true edge defenders. And that just to see those things consistently show up and be a problem, it to me, is what you hope you solve by hiring Nick Caley. And hopefully that results in – you know, a better product at the end of the year that allows you to then get to an AFC championship. You know me, though. I'm not a – you know, you could have a great year and run into a buzzsaw in the first or second round of the playoffs, and by how far your team went may be, you know, a lesser team. But in reality, you look at it, you were an overall better football team that just got beat, you know, earlier in the playoffs or in a division round. So I'm less worried about, like, this round or that round and more worried about the product that is the Texans' offense, right? Do the same problems keep popping up and we keep here, oh, it's fixable, all they got to do is execute, or are they adjusting and trying new things and overcoming? I think that's what they got to get done.
Yeah, no, I hear you. 713-572-4610. What are your expectations now? I think we have reached the stage now. We're past the just how it looks on the field. I think the expectations do have to be AFC Championship game, Super. I think it's to that point now, because you've made moves now. Like you've clipped a guy that came in off 1 year, was getting head coaching opportunities, and you do all these things. You've made moves. You've spent money. I'm thinking they're probably going to do it some more again after this, in this offseason, where they add to the offensive line, add to do things. I think we have reached a point now. Like, it's not just, all right, man, you look better. I think that's a big deal. But I think there has to be movement. I think there is. They have got to knock and kick the door down of this divisional round spot. Like they have, well, yeah, they have got. Like,
I think that two things can be true. I just don't think. I mean, you could be a significantly better football team and still get beat by Pat Mahomes in the division round.
Oh, I hear. Listen, I'm gonna say this. It's not. I'm not saying it's fair.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about real. Like, to me,
real
it's
or,
real.
Yeah, real or completely fair. But I think we have reached a point with the Texans right now, and I would say some of the frustration with the fans and stuff, and now the moves they've made. Like, you go out and you go and do these now moves, you got to make that. The expectation is, how many years has it felt like the Texans have run into a buzzsaw? At some point, like, that's got to stop. At some point, hell, they got to be the buzzsaw, or they got to figure out a way to, you know, to beat one of these teams. Like, so I it just feels like that this thing, especially if we see now, if they don't make any moves to their offensive line, and if they hit us with a running back,
yep,
which I just can't believe that. And I will say, a running back to me, a running back includes, even if Shaq Mason's out and you just put in like Juice Scruggs, and you still put in guys that are here. Like a running back to me is still of, oh, we're going to put Titus at left guard with Patterson.
Yep.
Like, that's even if they don't do anything to you know, to bring something in, a new bona fide starter, that's a running back to me. But it just feels like they're at a place where they have made moves to win right now. They have tried to be aggressive to make moves, and I think they got hit with some injury stuff. It's got to be that time that it's no more the, oh damn man, the Ravens are just good.
Yep.
We can't solve that team, or damn, here comes the Chiefs again. And I'll say it before you guys do. They've cheated us again, or the Bills or whatever. Like, at some point, you got to knock that thing down. So hopefully Nick Caley does help with that. Hopefully that is a thing that we see improvement on. But that to me has to roll through. Someone or people are texting in, AFC Championship game, or DeMeco is a failure. All right. I know that's the kind of stuff that you're talking about. I think that is a little strong right there. I don't think it's a failure. I mean, if he gets there again, I don't think it's a failure, but it's just a damn.
Yeah.
Just didn't reach the expectation. We're moving the disappointment thing. I think a failure season to me is not making the playoffs. I think that's where this group is. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
All right, the Texans, they hired an offensive coordinator. I want to take a peek back at the OC search. There's also been some movement around the league with other teams hiring their offensive coordinator. We'll cuss and discuss each one of them next. And Sports Radio 610, Sports Radio 610 has a monster contest where you can win a big-time prize. I want to let you in on that contest as well as, again, we will rehash this offensive coordinator search. The Texans have their guy. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Visinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.